Welcome back to Reptile Ramblings. I'm your host, Nate Truax, and as always, I'm joined by my most eloquent co-host, Mr. Bryant McDowell.
Hey, Ramblers.
And tonight, we're actually joined by another Herper, fellow Herper, a West Coast Herper, in fact, Mr. Blaine Mazzetti. I'm hoping I pronounced that correctly.
Yep, got it perfect. What's up, everybody?
All right, so Blaine, get to start off a little bit about yourself. Kind of what you do with herping, that sort of stuff, how you got into it, and what's the tick that drives your watch, so to speak?
Well, before we just dive into that, you know, the reason I invited...
Right, my bad.
No, you're good, but we go to touch on the footnotes too, but the reason I invited Blaine on was, you know, I liked the jib of his jab when you were on, you know, Dr. Julander's and Rob's podcast, you know, Reptile Fight Club, and I was like, you know, this guy is kind of the epitome of who we want to have on. You know, you're a tough herper through and through. You grind on, you show the lowlights and you show the highlights on your YouTubes and socials. I mean, that's kind of what it's about. You don't really bullshit it, for lack of a better term, which I like and appreciate, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I appreciate that, and it's nice to be appreciated and know that it's not always wins.
100%. And so, but you know, what is kind of a win is your origin stories. You know, like Nate alluded to. Why don't you dive in a little bit on that? Unless you add something, Nate.
I thought you were going to remind me about our sponsorship and all that.
Well, I mean, say yeah. I was going to let him do his origin, but if you want to,
hey, go ahead and go with your little origin story.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I could do that. So. It's kind of crazy how I got into this, actually. I mean, I grew up on a tiny Indian reservation in North San Diego, way out in the foothills, right at the base of Palomar Mountain. So I always liked catching, you know, horny toads and lizards and whatever. We'd see king snakes and red diamonds, whatever, but I was just a kid running around the res. But in 2022, my daughter, somehow, she was like 7 years old, she found a YouTube video of someone flipping boards, and she was like, "Dad, can we go flip boards? I want to find a snake." And I was like, "Yeah, there's stuff around the res we can go look at, and we'll probably find a snake." And we went out one time on like a misty day in January, and we ended up finding a red diamond rattlesnake right by our house. And like, then we found a ringneck, and she was like stoked, and then I was stoked, and then I was hooked. From that day on, January 2022, I was hooked, and I've been nonstop.
Yeah, that's definitely kind of a different cut of the claw from other herpers' origins. I mean, and you know, like, but you know, off air, like Nate alluded to, you know, your socials definitely shows you put in the work in that short amount of time span. I mean, legit stuff, brother.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just I started late, and when I get into things, I'm like OCD, super passionate, and you know, I'm grown, I'm older, I have a career, so I can do what I want when I want when I don't have my kids. So it's just like let's get it.
Yeah, man, that's a nice spot to be in. You know, I want to ask more, but Nate, you got it.
Yeah. Hit us off. Before we lose the sponsorship, let me just say we are sponsored by Serpentine Expeditions, Ian Braylon's company, the purveyor of high-quality herping expeditions all across the globe. Looks like actually some spots with the Zimbabwe, Sumatra, and Komodo expeditions have actually opened back up, along with Ecuador still being open. So if you want to actually get in on this, now's the time. Now you got a chance. And if you do decide to go ahead and book one of these incredible adventures, be sure to use code CK25 at checkout for $100 off of your order. Again, CK25 at checkout, $100. It's $100, folks. That can probably not get any new camera parts, but it can still go a ways to something, right?
Oh, a little goes a lot. And, you know, I keep pounding on the fact, Ecuador, I think April is a solid time to go. And Ian and the crew, I mean, they're quite thorough with their research and just scouting out areas. So, I mean, it's the best bang for your buck, regardless if you're just new, starting out, or, you know, you want to socialize a little bit while herping. I mean, this is the company to go with.
Yeah. So, like I said, check them out. Now, there's one thing I did want to mention before I forgot about it. A little certain someone who's very special to me, and you have met Bryant, has finally got his new book published. And that would be Chris Dieter's new Crocodilian Husbandry book just got published. So I
Sweet.
can't wait to get my hands on a copy of that. I'm so looking forward to getting my hands on that. I believe some actually have some photos I took are in that book. So really looking forward to that. Please don't buy it all up. Please save some for me. But yeah, shout out to Chris Dieter finally getting that book done. He says like a 400-page tome, so any and everything you need to learn about keeping crocodilians. Talking to someone who has literally decades of experience keeping crocodilians and has input from other people who have decades of keeping crocodilians, it's the one-stop shop for if you want to know how to keep a crocodilian.
Yeah, even though I met him the one time in Texas, but just straight from the get-go, I could tell this guy is a master at his craft when it comes to, captive crocodilian husbandry. I mean, solid dude and solid tome, as you said. I mean, he's done other literature in the past, but yeah, you've got me hooked, Nate. I'm definitely getting my second and third copy for sure. Good deal. Yeah, that was a nice surprise. I didn't know that was happening.
Well, back to our guests, I guess. So.
No, but like again, yeah, the origin story, really fascinating, dude. But like you say, in your younger years, like, because when it comes to herps, most people aren't really indifferent. You either sit one side of the fence or the other. And so you were saying, like, you kind of do the kid thing and go out in nature and chase around. But it was really your daughter that kind of reignited that or maybe ignited that actual passion you have.
Yeah, for sure. No, I mean, where I grew up, there wasn't anything else to do but run around the hills. So, we'd run around a boulder and there's a hella ride there and
Sure.
you're a kid
You're
and
out of SoCal, right?
yeah, I'm in San Diego area.
Solid.
Yep.
Solid. Oh, technical difficulties. Let me come back. Do, do, do. Hold on one sec.
What are you trying to do?
Hey, I'm back. I lost you guys for a sec. My bad.
No
Okay.
worries.
All right. We're back. Okay, so where were we? Origins. And so,
San Diego,
San
or
Diego.
as a German
Oh.
monk's, as the German monks named it after, a whale's vagina.
Perfect. I haven't heard that one. No,
You've never seen Anchorman?
it's been a long time, Nate.
Man, I've seen it.
Let
I got you.
me
I have a library that smells of old books and rich mahogany.
Well, going back to it, it seems like you're kind of a Lampronaut kind of guy. Lampros kind of get you going when it comes to snakes,
Yeah, for sure. I love king snakes. I mean,
Yeah.
in particular, mountain king snakes. There's something about them, like red, white, and black, and just sometimes easy to find, sometimes you can't find one, and every mountain's different, and I love it.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the thing, right? It's like a fair chase sort of a thing. You never know when you're really, you could target them hard, but you never really know when one's going to pop out.
Right. Yeah, I've been on what I think is a perfect day many times and seen nothing. I've been on perfect days and seen five in an afternoon. I've been on days that I probably shouldn't even be up there because it's terrible and find them. That's just, you never know. And sometimes you just got to go and try.
Yeah. One funny thing about, the West Coast as opposed to here, like in the Midwest, your guys' pits, you're like San Diego gopher snakes, stupid common. Even in my short stint out there, Michael and me, I think we found like two or three. And I mean, awesome snakes, but yeah, like dirt common as opposed to here in the Midwest where there's a bit more of a lore and kind of a, I guess, a majesty to them. Like our bull snakes are like way cooler. No offense, but it's interesting how it's flip-flop,
Yeah, no offense taken, 'cause we flip or see a gopher snake, we're like, gopher snake, bye, moving on, what's next? So I get it.
Yeah. I mean, how do you guys feel on your garters? Like we barely touched the garter diversity when I was there. What are your thoughts on garters? Hit or
Well,
miss?
I mean, in San Diego and like northern Baja, where I spend most of my time. We really mostly see just two striped garters, ham and die, and they're kind of cool, but their musk is so awful that I don't want to spend time on them. But
You don't like the Damnosus cologne? I mean, come on, dude.
no, but I mean, last year it happened to rain in the summer, and I just was like, you know what, I'm gonna go road cruise and see what happens. And I found a couple of South Coast garters. They're like our version of the red sided, and they're very uncommon down here in San Diego, and that was really cool. So I was pretty pumped on that actually.
Yeah. Sweet, good deal. And you touched on a little bit of Baja. So obviously, being in San Diego, you're right there at the front lines, the borders. And so you like you said a little bit off air, you tend to travel quite a lot. I suppose where would you say a majority of your time is when going down south of the border?
Usually, just because it's so close, I can just dip into Baja, like Ensenada, or in between there and San Felipe. There's a highway that runs from Ensenada to San Felipe, so you can branch off anywhere in between those places, and there's everything. There's desert, coastal, mountains, everything there. So you can basically go anywhere in Baja, and it's like starts as an extension of San Diego and then starts diversifying the further you go. So it's just, I try to go there anytime I can.
And it's weird that, right? Because even though you're in close proximity, would you say that herping still, obviously there's, and we're going to touch on this more, but there's just many, many more different factors involved. And overall, herping is just kind of a different beast once you go past the border, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's some nuances you got to be aware of and stuff, and so far, it's been good for us, but I'm sure everyone hears stories about Mexico and how it can be scary or whatever. And we've only had a couple crazy run-ins. Luckily, everything's been really good. Everyone's been really nice. We've had a couple, like one time guns drawn. That was kind of scary. But other than that, it's been cool. And like, usually we'll be herping somewhere and don't see anyone, but sometimes you do. And usually it's like a rancher or something, and they're just like, "What are you doing?" And we're like looking for snakes, and they're like, "Cool, don't cut the fence down."
Yeah.
So,
Yeah,
hey, if you haven't had a gun drawn on you, are you even a real herper?
for real.
was it really a trip? Was it really a road trip?
Yeah, no, for real. And yeah, hiking out into places we shouldn't be, where it's like you see a field of something you shouldn't see, and you're like, I'm turning around now.
Yes, especially if you start tramping through there, they're just gonna see a gringo with a camera. Ooh.
We've been chased out.
Then again, I think they would suspect a DEA agent to be a bit more subtle, but.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not well versed in all that history and stuff of what they expect. I just know they don't want people seeing certain things. So, and I've been chased out by a couple spotters before. So, definitely push the limits when we go.
Yeah. Look through the photos you sent me. You did not just Baja, but what other parts of Mexico have you been to?
Yeah, so last year I started going. I took my first trip. We went to Sonora. That was cool. And we went down to the close to the Sinaloa border. And it starts getting like tropical. You have the TDF, the tropical deciduous forest. So you start getting a lot of variety, cool snakes. That's where you start getting like the West Coast boas, the milk snakes, the vine snakes, the parrot, like all the tropical stuff, kind of northern end. That's kind of how the green rats come up into Arizona and stuff. So we did that. And then we also did Chihuahua in the mountains. That was amazing. So this year, we wanted to go back because we learned last year. It's always learn, go back, do better. So we did two trips this year to Sonora and Chihuahua. And then the most recent one was we flew into Durango and then drove over to Sinaloa. And spent like 5 days just learning, figuring it out, and basically getting rained out every day.
And
Well,
what were you targeting in Sinaloa?
there's this tiny stretch of road through the mountains off an old highway, the old main highway that goes from Mazatlan to Durango, and there's a mountain king snake that was recently discovered in like the last 40 years there, Webby. And we were out there hoping we could find that, and it was just insane habitat. The steepest mountains you've ever seen. Like, where do we hike? Where do we even begin? They've had crazy cartel wars down there recently. We were in this little town, El Palmito, that's on the other side of that sign, actually, that you're showing me. And they just had a cartel war there last September. So it's dangerous, but we wanted to go see those because not a lot of people have. And we struck out. We got rained out pretty much, but we did get a Crotalus lepidus maculosus, which is the Durango rock rattlesnake, and that was a secondary target, so that was cool.
Right.
And also, not to, I think you're selling yourself a little bit short too, Blaine. When you go on these trips, and I've heard from your YouTubes, you got a little good knack for speaking Spanish, and that obviously goes, pretty far and beyond where you're going down south.
Yeah, it's growing. It's been a learning process. When we first started going, like, I don't know, I met my friend Ronnie. He's like the guy I always go with. I kind of don't herp with a lot of people. I've kind of closed off and just kind of done my own thing, and I don't ask anyone for help or anything. So I went down there, and the first time was just like, I was like, yeah, I know a little bit of Spanish. I took Spanish in high school. And then like people started talking to me. I was like, oh man, you don't know Spanish. And then over the last couple of years of going, I try to learn, and I've learned quite a bit. I've got pretty good. I can hold it down now to where I can navigate, talk to people, and get through the trips.
Hey man, you're pronunciating a lot of the food items pretty correctly on your video. So I mean, that's kudos to you. That's a good step in the right direction,
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, just
And so, my bad, Nate, but you touched on Ronnie. He seems like he's your main go-to guy when it comes to going down south. Like you guys got, you guys are pretty tight-knit. And when it comes to these quasi, exploration type road trips, I'm of the opinion you kind of want it to be tight-knit. The bigger the crowd, the more eyes you probably have on you, that sort of thing. I kind of like I'm kind of the same philosophy as you.
Nice.
Tighter crew, probably better results, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I have mixed feelings about that. I think bigger crews usually get better results because they have more eyes, more people, they're more spread out. Well, maybe not better results, but they find more animals because they have so many more eyes and they're covering more ground. But at the same time, sometimes I personally, like, nothing against these people, but like when someone finds something, and has to radio me, be like, hey, I got this. I don't feel like I was a part of finding that, And with Ronnie and I, we just kind of stay side by side. He goes on the north side of the rock pile, I go on the south side, and we work our way to the middle. And when we say I got something, we're right next to each other. So it's like you take three steps and you're like, sick, hell yeah. Like you're a part of it.
It's not really, I don't know what's the best way to describe it. It's not being slightly masochistic, but you kind of like that competitive flair and the camaraderie when you guys are close together like that and you're finding stuff and as opposed to being a larger group, which you're right, you probably will find more stuff, but the dopamine rush, the emotion is just a little bit different. It hits different.
Yeah, we do. We compete with each other. We're talking shit the whole time. We're like, ah, I flipped two and you haven't found shit, man. Like, you're weak sauce. You better step it up. And we push each other and stuff. Like, we're like really good friends. And like, obviously, like, we annoy the shit out of each other too. 'Cause we try, you travel with someone enough, you're around all their quirks. So we're both like, shut the hell up. Sometimes we're like, dude, chill out. Like, whatever. But in the end, we're good friends and we love taking trips.
Yeah, man. It seemed like this year you guys kind of smashed it out the park. I mean, there were some highlights I wanted to touch on, like beta lizards too, or go for it, Nate. What?
I have a quick question. Who was your friend that went to Iran?
Me?
Yeah.
Why?
Just out of curiosity. Just answer the question for me, will you?
Starts with an I probably don't want to put him on blast just in case.
Okay. Does his last name begin with K?
Yes.
All right. Thanks. Continue.
Yeah, but yeah, man, some of the very random, but beta lizards. Let's start with that. That was awesome. From what was it, Sinaloa, or was that
No, that was in Sonora. That was over
okay.
there. Yeah, we wanted to see them last year. We got a late jump on Sonora last year. We didn't go till later in the year, late in the season, the very end of monsoon season. And we were like, maybe we'll get one, maybe not. But regardless, we're going to learn something.
Do
So
they
we
have a
just spent.
similar monsoon season to like Arizona? I would assume so, right?
Yeah, just the further south you go, a little more wet, you know,
Yeah.
standard. But yeah, very similar, same season. But yeah, we were like, beaded were one of the top things. We're like, let's go. Went down there. We drove almost to the Sinaloa border. Saw a couple of things, no beaded. And then we went again this year. And we were hitting the pavement hard at night. We really wanted to see those. It was like one of the top targets. And we passed one semi. And right after we pass it, there's a hit beaded in the road. And we're just like, are you kidding me? We were on this lonely road in the middle of nowhere, like no cars. And the story every herper's told a few times, the only other car hits the damn thing.
Yeah.
And it was a heartbreaker. And we're just like, damn, are we going to get that thing? And then the last trip we went late at night, kind of off and on raining. We're like, God, is the rain ever going to let up and let us see anything? Like, it's killing us. And I'm like, Ronnie's like, let's do one last pass. Let's go down that desolate highway again. And I was like, dude, let's just go to bed. And he's like, nah, let go. Just turn down the highway one more time. And I was driving and I was like, whatever. So I'm like on the highway. I'm going like 70. Just like, dude, I don't even care at this point. I'm just getting the road done. And all of a sudden, I'm just like, beat it. And we like slam on the brakes and flip this crazy U-turn. And there's this beautiful, huge beaded lizard. And we were just like, all right, Ronnie, you were right. Like, good call.
Yeah,
Yeah.
well worth it. That brings another thing to mind when it comes to like cruising. I mean, what are some of the hours you guys are doing when it comes to these? And also another thing, how long are these short stints when you go down to like close by Mexican states like Sonora or whatnot?
The stints are usually around 5 days. I mean, we really get to herp for 3 days because it takes us about 14 to 17 hours to drive there.
Yeah.
And then we have to spend the final day we have off work or whatever to drive back. So we get about 3 full days herping. And if we fly, we'll get a full 4.5, 5 days.
Yeah. Is that how it was with the latest Sinaloa trip?
Yeah, we flew down there, rented a car. So we got in Friday morning early. So we tried to herp. We got rain, it rained all day Friday. And then the story of our trip was it would be sunny in the morning as it warmed up. And then right when it started getting like the perfect warmth, like 11 o'clock, it would just start dumping again and shut us down. So if we didn't find anything by like 11 or 12, it was like we were smoked. But yeah, we got a solid 4.5, 5 days on that trip.
Yeah, so I'm assuming you're itching to go back, I guess next year or sometime soon.
Yeah, I want to go back and hopefully get a little bit better weather where the rain's not so much. I mean, rain's good. Like a little bit of rain every day is good in that season, but when you're getting 3/4 of an inch every afternoon, you're just swimming.
Yeah, I mean, most things are probably huddling up in that kind of downspout,
Yeah, definitely.
And so, I didn't look at the highlights on that, but what were some of the highlights of that trip, despite, the constant, weather challenges?
The highlights, I mean, definitely for me, we drove down one day. We were just having like, we just it wouldn't stop raining. We could barely see the hood of the car, and I was just like, dude, just start driving towards the beach. Like, let's see if we can get into some sunshine. Go have some tacos down there. So we drove almost to Mazatlan, which is pretty far, and then like the sky kind of cleared up. We had some tacos, and we were driving back, and we like at like 7:30 p.m. we got a blunt-headed tree snake, which is really nothing crazy when you're down that area, but just for us it was cool because we weren't even looking for snakes because we didn't think we were going to see anything. So that
Yeah.
was cool. And like I've never seen a snake so thin. Like it was so thin. I was like, how does this thing eat anything? It's crazy, but it was cool. And then in Sinaloa, there was like one morning at like 11:30 where it wasn't raining. We had like a 2-hour window where it wasn't raining, and it was our first time ever crossing into Sinaloa. We're all nervous, like, oh my God, this is like a level 4 state. You're not even supposed to go here. The US government says don't travel here. What's gonna happen? And we're just like, whatever. We're gonna live, whatever. And then we found the Durango rock rattlesnake within like 20 minutes of being in Sinaloa, and that was probably the best snake we found. And then we found some common stuff, some garter snakes, and
I think you got a photo of that, don't you, Nate?
the Sinaloa garter snake.
No,
No,
the
the
rock
Durango
rattler.
rock rattlesnake.
Okay. So you sent a picture of two rattlesnakes. So let's see. I think I got
It's
it.
the one that's on the will or die. It's like pink.
That doesn't help, but they're both kind of pinkish in my butt.
Oh, how do they stack
Yeah,
up
okay,
as
I think I
opposed
know
to
which. I know which one you're
like the
talking
banded
about.
rocks? Sorry, how do they stack up to what?
So like the ones you find in Arizona.
I thought they were cooler. Like, just looks like a
Ooh, wow.
totally different species,
Yeah, it
and
does.
it's one of those snakes that's cool. Like, I don't think they're necessarily difficult to find, but like not a lot of people are in that area looking for them. So you don't see them pop up too much. Like, they're not being posted all the time on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube, whatever. So it's like people find them, but you don't see them much. And like, to me, like, that's a draw. Like, I want to see stuff that not a lot of people see. So seeing that was really
Yeah.
cool for me.
And that's kind of what I touched on the pseudo, new frontier kind of a thing. When you go down to these kind of semi-obscure slash kind of dangerous Mexican states, is that you get rewarded with seeing critters like these that, like you said, they aren't posted on too much. So there's not really much of a baseline for people to go off of. And like, yeah, that's a quality shot, dude. That's a pretty snake.
Well, thanks. Yeah, exactly. Like, and you never know what you're going to see in those areas. You could find something new. So that's always cool, a cool thought in my head too.
Yeah, man, kind of has a little bit of that Ravis kind of look to it too. Really cool looking thing. And like the rattle mask got golden. It's like like it was dipped in gold. That's crazy.
Yeah, and they're tiny. The rattles are so tiny. They're like even smaller than like the clobberi up here in Arizona.
No kidding. Wow.
So it's like, yeah, you barely hear it. It's like the most faint rattle.
So you said you caught this while cruising, but what was the habitat looking like on both sides?
It was crazy. It was like nowhere I've ever been before. Like, it felt tropical. Like, there's just sheer cliffs on both sides of the road. Like, when we did find areas to hike, we were like dying within 5 minutes, like out of breath. Like, oh my, like, what are we doing? And it felt like it was partly tropical, but you're still in pine trees. So it's like the weirdest mix of like where the tropical deciduous forest meets the montane habitat. It was insane.
So were you guys kind of high up? Like, what are we talking about elevation wise?
Yeah, probably between 65 and 7,500 feet. So like the 2,000, 2,500 meter kind of thing
Yeah, that is
ish.
a nice smattering of habitats. Really cool.
Is that the
That's
picture?
in Sonora, actually.
Okay.
I don't know if I sent you guys one of there. I don't know if I had any, because every time we got out in the habitat, we're like, all right, we're gonna do this now. It start raining, and we have to run back to the car.
Yeah, so it's tough to divide your time. Like, do I want to take shots of habitat or this and that? And you just, once you're on the chase, you kind of get kind of single track minded. I've been there. It's tough.
No, 100%. Like, we were, I mean, on that trip, honestly, we were just like, any chance we got, we're like, please just let us get out there and find something. And we were flipping the rocks, and they were so wet underneath. We didn't give up, but it was kind of feeling like, dang, if we find anything, it's going to be lucky.
Usually in those conditions, like fossorials tend to creep out. So I'm assuming that's kind of what you guys saw too with those kind of conditions.
Yeah, I mean we saw some garter snakes, some black neck garters, Mexican wandering garter. And it was actually cool 'cause I just like was randomly pulled off the road and Ronnie was tired and he was like taking a nap and I didn't want to drive. I was like, I'm gonna stretch my legs, started like walking around and I started flipping rocks and I found one of those blue Mexican garters with like the blue belly and that was pretty cool.
Oh, that's sick, dude.
Yeah, so that was cool. And then we found this one snake. I can't even remember what it was called. I think it's called like the common names, like the graceful brown crown snake or something like that. I didn't even know what it was. I misidentified it when I first posted, and then some of my friends from Mexico are like, "That's not what it is. It's this." And I was
Right.
like, "Oh shoot!" And I didn't even know it existed. So,
Right. You don't
yeah.
know what you don't know. That's kind of cool. I mean, everything's basically a lifer at that point. So
Yeah, exactly.
that's sweet, man. And you were touching about like the blunt-headed. Like, sure, they are common tropical snakes, but they're tropical and they are cool, dude. Like, Nate and I have messed with a few. Like, they weigh nothing and they're just so weird or so dainty.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
It's like holding a piece of spaghetti almost.
For real. But like for me, almost no matter what it is, for the most part, seeing something new is exciting.
100%. But it gets even more exciting once you start to see them again and again. I feel like obviously you start to lose a little bit of that dopamine rush, but it's cool to know you can see them again if the spot's reliable. Like I know for Sinaloa, the one main thing that I guess herpers target, and I'm assuming you guys probably did too, was the Sinaloan milks.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be easy there. We're like, oh, we're in Sinaloa, they're going to be everywhere now, but we didn't. We put in some hours cruising and it was just so wet. Like, sadly, nothing was moving. We only cruised like a couple snakes here and there, but we saw two of them in Sonora actually, so that was cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, pretty far north in their range. There's a couple roads up there you can get them on, and we found one the first trip. And one the second. Oh, this picture is actually a mountain king snake in Baja.
Okay.
The Sinaloan would be the bright red snake that's kind of coiled up. I did send you a picture of one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think they'd be easy to catch because on all the Mexican field guides, they're usually adorned on the cover, but
Yeah, exactly. But they're just like other lands. Yeah, that's one right there. And you can see why people want to find them and why I would want to find them. But yeah, they're like other lamps. They're elusive and they only move when they want to move.
100%. I know you like Cali Kings as well, and they kind of reach down. It's a snore, right?
I don't know if they reach into maybe. I mean, I guess they're in Arizona, so I could see that, but I've never herped that far north in Sonora, so it's like I'm not really sure. And like when I honestly when I leave home, I don't want to see anything we have at home, really,
Yeah.
so
Oh, that's a beautiful animal, dude. That's sweet. That is a pretty close coral mimic, for a milk. I mean, I know they all are kind of coral mimics, but this one in particular is just so clean looking.
yeah, out of all the Lampros, this is probably the most coral looking almost.
Right?
And the corals down there look just like that too, with the wide red and the clean bands. Like we found one of those too on one of our trips. And honestly, like when we were cruising, both milk snakes we found were both like, oh, coral. And then we get out, we're like, oh my God, it's a
Whoa,
milk.
whoa, whoa! You're whining because of a coral?
I mean, not necessarily whining because we've only seen like a one that was hit and hopefully it survived. I don't know if it did. And then one we found alive. We
Yeah.
found it really high up in the mountain, so that was cool. But then we saw a DOR milk and we were just like, oh, we got to get a milk. We got to get a milk. And when you see these stretched out in the road, it looks like a coral because there's so much red. So we're just like, ah, oh, it's not a milk, it's a coral. But then we get out and it was a milk. But we cruise kind of fast, so maybe not the best approach, but I feel like you got to go fast to get lamps.
Well, I feel like you go fast when things aren't moving. If things aren't moving, then you start to pick up the speed. But
Yeah, that too. When things aren't moving, I'm going like 70, which is kind of crazy.
And
Hey,
that
as
might
long
slow
as
down. You're talking about kilometers an hour, right?
you No. No.
Yeah, I'd slow that down a
Man.
little bit.
Eagle
Yeah.
eyes. Hey.
I do
Yeah.
have good eyes. Ronnie always is like, dude, he's like, you're so annoying. You see everything, but I do need to keep it closer to 50. But when you're not seeing anything, you're just like, let's cover some ground and make something happen.
Sure. That's sweet, man. So yeah, corals, milks, and then obviously I touched on like pits. Like, have you seen anything south of the border pit-wise?
Yeah, we've actually seen four of the Mexican pine snakes or Mexican bull. I call them pine snakes because they're up in the pines, but I think they're also called Mexican bull snakes, the Pituophis
I think
depi. And
I is that the one that looks a lot like a hundred flower rat?
I'm not sure, but I sent you guys a picture. So if you see a gopher snake picture that I sent you guys, that's the one, and they make San Diego gopher snakes look like nothing.
100%. Oh,
Yeah.
dude. Holy grail
Yeah.
pit right here. Whoa.
Yeah. So when you see those stretched out in the road, you're just like, hell yes.
Yeah,
Nice call on the 100 flower rat. That's a pretty accurate description, Nate.
Yeah. I was like, there's no way he saw a hundred flower rat in Mexico. There's no way, right? It's like, ah,
I don't even know
it's
what
gotta
that
be something
is.
else. So,
Like a
it's like
Eurasian.
Gynnysoma. Is that his genus? No, it's not
No,
Gynnysoma.
I think they're back in
Ala
a Laffey,
yeah,
but yeah.
Mullendorfi. So,
Yeah, they'll look like an Asian rat snake,
yeah,
but
basically imagine that, but
cool.
like a brighter green and maybe a bit more solid coppery orange on the head.
Oh, okay. That sounds cool
Dude.
too.
The tail on that is unreal.
Yeah, they get really bright on the tail, and they're just some of the best pits out there, honestly.
I really like how their base kind of gray green color is almost a perfect match for the lichen.
Yeah, no, they're a trip, and you would think you see that snake in the road, you're like, this would not blend into anything. You take it into habitat, you're like, all right, the dead leaves, the lichen, the rocks, it makes sense.
Invisible.
Yeah.
Huh, Montane Pit. That is so odd. That's cool. So, I mean, was that the only kind of special? And also, was that in Sonora or?
Yeah, we've only found them in Sonora so far. We found one last year when we weren't even supposed to go to Sonora. We just drove there. We actually flew to Chihuahua, and we just drove there just because, like I said, it was raining. We're like, let's get out of the rain, go, go. And we saw one in the road. And then this year we found two adults in the daytime and a baby at night.
That's sick, man. Got to see the whole, I guess, what do you say, life cycle or whatever. That's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. And
Are
the babies,
babies a bit duller or?
yeah, they're just basically like a more like they're the front half's like beige with the saddles, if you want to call them that, and the bottom's like brown. So they don't develop that crazy bright orange until they're bigger.
Yeah. That's sick, man. So I'm curious, when it comes to herping, some of us make these. I mean, we all have life lists, but some of us even dissect that even further, and we have like lists depending on like genesis or whatnot. And then obviously, I know you're a big, lampronaut guy, but what are some other, I guess, genuses that you have an itching for when it comes to herping?
Oh man, that's a
That's
tough
tough.
question.
Sure, sure. I would assume the pits too now that you got like an inkling of how they are in Mexico.
Yeah, definitely. Like when I go down there, I want to see those. Those are cool, the depi, and then there's the other ones on the eastern side. The what are they? The depi Janai, I think they're called.
I think so. Is
They're
that
little.
the type Speedy has?
Yeah, Depi Jenna, yeah. I think
Yeah, so
it has or whatever.
those would be cool. I was hoping when we were in like Durango, we might have a chance, but I don't know if we were far enough east or not because I'm looking at king snakes when I'm doing my homework, and I'm just like, whatever else is bycatch. So, but like, yeah, man, aside from mountain kings, I'm never really targeting
Hard to get
anything.
away. Yeah.
But I mean, like, obviously, I love rosy boas in all shapes and sizes, colors, whatever. I'm not a huge croat guy, but I like the montane stuff. You know, I like the clobs and the willard eye, and that stuff's cool to see. So I'll like in new areas, I'll target that stuff, but I'm always hoping that the Mountain King's gonna pop out.
Sure. That's sweet, man.
Speaking of Mountain Kings, you want to talk about your findings with those guys?
That has been probably the most accelerated learning journey of my life. Like I said, I started in 2022, I think. 22, yeah, it's 'cause my fourth year. And I didn't even know those existed. Like, I didn't really know much about snakes. I just knew what was local around my house. I was like, oh, there's some rattlesnakes, king snakes, whatever. We'll look for those. And then I started doing reading, 'cause I like to read too. So I started reading books, looking up stuff online. And I was like, dang, there's mountain kings. And then I found out they're on Palomar Mountain, which is 20 minutes. I have to drive up there. I'm basically at the bottom of the mountain where I live. So I was like, sweet. I'm just going to go up there and start looking. But I did not know anything. And if you do not know how to find these animals, you will be on one of the most difficult journeys of your life because they are very particular on the days they come out, the rocks they like, the kind of rocks they like, the elevation. Like, it's crazy. It's if you don't know what you're doing, it can be a pain in the butt. And so that's kind of how I met Ronnie, actually. It's just like he had posted his family went to Baja, to San Felipe, and he like went out one night, just road cruising when everyone went to bed, and he found a boa and he posted it, and I was just happened to be following him, and I was like, oh damn, you went to Baja? I was like, I've been wanting to go to Baja, like it's like it sounds pretty sick. And he was just like, dude, if you want to go, I'll go with you. And that just started our friendship. And we met. Actually, it was out of season, and we met, and he took me to Laguna Mountain, and he started because he's been doing this since he was a kid. He taught me kind of the basics of Mountain Kings,
Okay.
and I just kind of took that and went crazy. I became obsessed, and the picture you're showing right now is actually like one of the hardest Zenata to find. I think second maybe to the Diablo. I'm not sure which one's harder, but not very many of those ones have been found, maybe 50.
And these are mountain ranges you're talking about when you're giving these names.
Yeah, so the Diablo, that's one in like the northernest central California area, up by within proximity, like maybe Santa Cruz and stuff, within a couple hours of there. I'm not super familiar, but I know those are considered some of the hardest to find. And this one that I'm holding in that picture is the Sierra de San Pedro Martir. I'm trying to say it in English. It's hard. I'm like stumbling. Yeah, the Martirs, and that one's probably the second hardest, and not many people have seen them aside from like Paul Lynam.
And so they're just like tough populations, but I forget, I'm not well versed with like mountain kings. Don't they like subspeciate them depending on the mountain ranges they're on?
They did for a long time. They don't anymore. Now they just call them all California Mountain Kings or Coast Mountain Kings. So even the ones in Baja are technically considered Coast Mountain Kings now. But we go with the old school names. Like we call them Agama, which is their subspecies from the back in the day. And they're to me, they're so different. Like they have similarities, but they're so different. And people still argue that the ones in the southern portion, the Martyrs, should be their own thing. But I don't know if enough have been found for like the DNA analysis to make that, because they're really hard to find. And like I said, aside from Paul Lynam, there's been like a handful of herpers that have ever even seen them.
Yeah, I mean, if they're different, they're different. You don't have to adopt the modern nomenclature for sure. It's kind of
Nah.
what people forget. You can dispute this kind of stuff
Yeah.
to a degree.
Yeah, so we call them Agama still, you know, Baja Mountain Kings.
Okay, cool. Yeah, when I hear you say Agama, I'm just thinking of the lizards.
Oh, is there a lizard called that?
The whole
They're
group.
a family,
Oh.
like the bearded dragons and stuff like that. They're all technically
Neuromastix.
Agamas. Yeah, they're all like
Oh,
galleons.
wow. Okay. Yeah, so yeah, it's like it was
Basically
land propelled
the
fish.
yeah, basically the old world equivalent of iguanids. So
Okay. That's true. Yeah, so this one's used to be called Lampropeltis zanata agalma, and
it's
that
probably
was the
spelled
name.
different, but
Agalma. Yeah, it's a
yeah.
bit different.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm
Yeah.
curious, man, did you scoop up the new Cali Field Herp guide
Is that the one?
with
Or
Henson and Shed? It has
yeah,
the
I
horny
do.
toad on.
Yep, I do have it, and I've read it a little bit, and I should probably go through it more, but I do have
Little
it.
little book ASMR.
Yeah, flip the
Same, yeah.
page.
It's a solid field guide. Just same.
Bentley. You know those videos I'm talking about?
I have not seen them.
Yeah. The ones everyone makes fun of are the girls who just randomly go on a fancy car, trying to brag about the car. Everyone's just like, that's stupid. So.
Oh, that's funny.
It's a whole genre, dude. That's funny. You know, before we get away from Chihuahua and talk a little bit more about your travels, or I mean Mexico, excuse me. You said you visited Durango. How was that? Like, was that your first time, or you guys were coming back?
That was our first time, and it's one of those places I wanted to go. Like, they have the, I'll try to say it without like the Spanish accent now. I'm so used to not,
You
but
can.
the Durango Mount, just for the listener's sake, I guess. For the Durango Mountain Kingsnake or the Grier, we wanted to see those. So like we were like, let's go. Like, we got the money. Let's take a trip. So we bought airplane tickets, rented the car, went out there, tried. That was the same trip as like the Sinaloa trip. So we weren't planning to go to Sinaloa, but we knew it could happen because the Webby, the mountain king I told you guys about, was there. It's like right on the border of the two states. So we didn't know we were going to go so far into the state, but we were too drawn, so we couldn't stop. But yeah, Durango was really cool. Beautiful, beautiful state. I mean, the Sierra Madre Occidental is just, you ever can go, and it's amazing. It's beautiful. Like, the whole thing is amazing.
It's massive, dude. It's massive.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is you have, Sinaloa and Durango back on the list potentially in the future.
Yeah, I'm definitely planning to go next monsoon season for 5 days. There's a couple things that are still bugging me in Chihuahua and Sonora that I would like to check off before moving on, but I'm definitely going to do a trip, at least one, to Durango and Sinaloa next year.
Okay, I mean, we'll touch on that. What's bugging you in Chihuahua a bit?
So I found almost everything I want to find in Chihuahua. I found the first time I went, I found the Mountain King, which was amazing. Highest target. This year I found the Willard Eye, which are pretty tough.
Nice.
I want to go find a Price Eye over there, because there's an area, well, there's lots of areas where you can find all three, kind of like Arizona. And I would like to do that. Maybe not, I don't care if it's the same day. I don't need, but I would like to see all three. I've actually never even seen a Price Eye, which is crazy how much time I've spent in the mountains. It just hasn't happened. I'd like to see that. I would like to find another Mountain King in Chihuahua and on the Sonora side, because I'm kind of one of those guys that's just like, I want to see it in different locales. Like, that means something to me. Kind of like when I do Zenata over here, I want to see them on different peaks and different areas. Like, it's the same animals, but it means something by where it comes from. So, kind of that kind of stuff.
100%. I'm in tune with, locality type seeking. That kind of leads me into kind of the bigger croats, because down south you're dealing with like blacktails and I don't think it's called basilicus, but
It might be
it's, yeah,
Basilicus, but that might be further
it is.
south.
No,
It's either
we saw one.
you seen Basilicus.
I don't know how you say it. I'm not even going to try to say that on
Basiliscus?
so
I
people
don't
can.
know.
Yeah,
Weird.
It's a dead
the
language.
Mexican West Coast rattlesnake, that one.
Yeah. Dude,
Yeah,
those
we
things.
saw a baby.
Nate and I, we're definitely croat guys for sure. And for me personally, I love the blacktails. They're pretty common, but Basilicas, you know, one of the top tier. They're just so built, you know.
They're really beautiful, and like the browns and yellows on those things that just pop. Like the diamonds on those things are just contrast. Like we saw a big DOR way south in Sonora, and then we saw a baby on our last trip. Just like coincidentally driving home. We're like driving home like 3 a.m. We're like, let's just knock out half the trip now, the first 6 hours, and we'll sleep a little bit and then go. And we're like, oh, is that a snake? Yeah, let's go back and look. I don't know. And it was like a maybe yearling, 2 year old, like a not quite 2 foot, 18 inch little one. And I was like, yeah, we got to take pictures. Like, let's wake up.
Oh yeah, that'll wake you up for sure, dude. You
Yeah.
know, that kind of leads me again. So when it comes to your guys' herping efforts in Mexico, and you know, this is probably depends on where you're at. Would you say like what, about a quarter, a third, or half the time you guys are just road cruising in terms of like herping efforts?
Kind of depends what season it is.
No.
So, like, I mean, the monsoon season, like, you could see stuff in the day in the road, but not too much. Like, you'll get those Pituophis depis, those pine snakes in the road, which is cool. And we kind of just hope we see them when we're driving from location to location, but most of the time we're hiking. So it's like hike and flip rocks all day. And then as soon as like that crepuscular time comes in, like let's get back on the road, and you cruise all night, and we try to go till 1, 2 in the morning if we can.
Sure. That's kind of what I was kind of getting in line with. That sounds about right. But it can be tiring, dog. I know that for sure.
Yeah, it's nonstop. Like you're herping and sleeping, herping, sleeping, and maybe eating here and there.
And a quick shout out, hello from to you, James. Glad you could join us from Borneo.
Oh, my main man, what's happening, dude?
Did I meant to tell you, Bryant, he got a Bungerus flaviceps, the red-headed crate, in his village. He found his first one.
Oh, that's so sick.
Congratulations, dude. That's dope.
Way to go, dude. Those are awesome. Killer snakes. Awesome.
But back to the good old Western Hemisphere.
Yeah.
Out here in the
What
Southwest in the desert.
You know what? I touched on basilicas just because, like you're saying, they are gorgeous snakes. And also, I would love to take a trip out to the Yucatan Peninsula, where they get like this crazy, like dual red, you
Oh.
know, dorsal stripes. Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely on my list, but not, I have other stuff to do first.
Yeah, those are the snakes that the Mayans, you know, the Mayans modeled their statues on their temples off of those guys.
That's cool.
100% took inspiration.
I think there was an Austin Stevens episode about those. I believe so. Am I
Yeah,
right?
you are right. You know, obviously with his eclectic style, it definitely incorporated like Mayan culture and the snake. I mean, they do kind of go hand in
Yeah.
hand if you look
Future
at it.
episode idea: tier list herp shows, but.
That's actually pretty solid. I'm glad you just thought of it on the spot. This is why we have you, Nate.
This is why we ramble. Hey, you don't have me. I have you, remember? Okay, let's
Well,
get.
it's mutual. It's mutual. I'm curious, man. Since
This
you're,
mutual
you
isn't
know,
starting to feel like parasitism.
yeah, I'll just keep mooching off of you. You know, obviously, it seems like Mexico definitely has you for quite a bit. But is there anywhere else that you envision yourself visiting or planning to go, or do you still want to explore like more of different Mexican states?
Yeah, that's kind of what has me drawn right now. There's so much to Mexico that it's so amazing, and it's just there's so much, like so many. I think it has the most snake species in the world for any country. You could fact check me if you want, but I think it's like over 400, and I love it. I love Mexico. I love the people, the landscape, the food. Like the food is amazing, and you're out in the
Yeah.
When you're out in these mountains or wherever, and you've got like this little abuelita cooking gorditas or something, you're just like, oh my God, this home cooked meal is so bomb. Like, this is the best. So, definitely a lot more to Mexico, but I think eventually, it would be cool to do some Asia stuff. Like maybe I took my daughter to Japan and I was like, this would be cool to herp. Like, I wish I
Yeah.
could do that.
Hey,
Or,
Japan has some really cool herps too.
yeah.
Not maybe not
So,
nowhere near the diversity of Mexico, but still the herps they do have, pretty cool.
yeah. So that, and then like, I don't know. I think everyone, I don't know how old you guys are, but like, I was like a kid in the 90s, so I'm kind of old. But
I was
everyone grew up.
technically a child of the 90s, but only for like 2.5 years, pretty much, so. You're
Yeah, so like I
a
grew up with the whole, you know, Steve Irwin, hearing about Steve Irwin, this nut job guy, and seeing all that. So it's always like been like Australia would be cool one day.
Yeah. Yeah, I think everyone in our generation has that reverence, maybe that's not the right term, but this passion and desire to see Australia someday.
Yeah, it's cool. It look, I mean, the lizards there are up there with the snakes too.
100%. You know, even if it may be quote unquote played out, I mean, it's the land of lizards, the lands of herps. I mean, it's the Mecca, you know.
Yeah, I mean, played out is to each their own, you know. We
I
haven't
think
done it
so.
yet, so it's not played out to us.
That's like saying
No, not at
Shakespeare's
all.
played out.
In some sort of sense, yeah. And you know, you're not wrong with Mexico because obviously I've touched down in Mexico just a little bit and being in Oaxaca and like just like you're saying, I'm just itching to go back and you know, maybe not exactly Oaxaca again, but just exploring some different states, different areas and seeing what happens. It's always different once you put boots on the ground, as I always say. It's always a
Yeah,
trip.
it is. And like, I mean, I'm not trying to be a kiss ass to your guys' sponsor or anything, but I mean, I talk with Kyle and Rob quite a bit because they go to Mexico and they were part of Ian's expedition to Sonora just recently.
Yeah, I see this
So,
other picture
like,
they've been posting. That rattlesnake,
yeah.
woo!
Yeah, but I was just going to say, like, if for people that are like maybe have some fear or, you know, like a group of girls that want to go, like, that's probably a good way to start with Mexico. Like you got to pay a little bit and stuff, but like those guys know Mexico. Rob and Kyle, they get down, they know Mexico. You're gonna see some snakes, you're gonna be in safe areas. So like not to be like the sponsor shout out guy though, but like if that's something you're interested in, you're a little fearful of Mexico, you don't speak Spanish, like I would reach out to those guys.
I mean, people will pay more for that sense of security. I mean, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably cheaper than actually hiring a security detail, so.
Yeah.
100%. James was asking if you ever go after Abronia.
I don't know if I've been in range. I'm not a huge lizard guy, but I'm not sure I've been in that far south. But also, I don't
Alligator lit.
know. But
I'm actually an alligator lizard range, even in San Diego, right?
oh, is that? Oh, okay. I was thinking it was a different species of lizard that's further south.
So
So it's just alligator lizard.
Abronia is the genus that includes all alligator lizards.
Oh, okay. See, I was thinking of
And
something
with morph.
specific then. I was thinking of those crazy green ones from like Oaxaca and stuff.
Those are those. Yeah, those are those.
Okay. I don't, yeah, I haven't been in their range. I think the only ones I've seen in Mexico have been the King Eye, the Madrean, right? Same as Arizona.
Yeah.
And then in the San Diego, obviously, and those are just like, there's another one of those guys, like gopher snakes, they're everywhere.
Well, those I hope to see sometime because yeah, they may be common, but you know, they're so variable too in their colors, and they get pretty decent size for a little lizard.
Yeah, they can with tail get up to like 18 inches or so.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's pretty good size.
Yeah, but yeah, come to San Diego. I put you guys on a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I occasionally make my way out to the West Coast because I have family out there, and like my brother's telling me, he's like, "Oh yeah, we have northern alligator lizards out on our property, out in our yard," and he says he doesn't like them because they're always mean to him. So,
That's fun. They're feisty. They'll chomp on you.
yeah, which my sister-in-law adores them, so it's makes it a little bit funnier. So, but yeah, like they live like. I won't say they live way up north. They're not like on the Oregon border, but they're a fair bit ways north of San Fran, so.
Yeah, California is huge. I don't think people realize how long it is, north and south.
It's
Yeah.
enormous. Yeah, but
Yeah,
no, if you think
I think
about
it's
it,
almost
If you think
I
about it,
would.
latitudinally, Southern California is what? On the same latitude as what? Northern Florida? And the northern border of California is on like New York, New England level almost.
Yeah, that's crazy. I was gonna say, yeah, it takes like anywhere between like 16 and 20 hours to drive from San Diego all the way to Oregon, and that's almost, you can get to Texas doing that.
Yeah, that's definitely one way to put it into perspective. That's
It's a
crazy.
big place.
And then Texas. Texas is a whole other thing.
Yeah,
Boy, let me tell
that's
you
somewhere else
what.
I want to go.
Boy, let
Speaking
me
of
tell you
Texas.
what. Texas is a whole other can of worms.
Yeah, that's another place I want to go, actually.
Yeah, I think I heard somewhere that to go from El Paso to the eastern border of Texas is longer than driving from El Paso to LA, so.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, Texas is huge, but I mean, if I could, I would go on the Mexican side of Texas because they have all the same stuff, but that's another trip that could possibly be in the works is South Texas.
Well, dude,
You're
Tamaulipas. Tamaulipas
talking
would
to
be
the
an
right
awesome
guy.
state.
Yeah. You're talking to the right guy when you talk about wanting to go to South Texas.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're all Texas fanatics here. And, you know, I've been to the RGV. I'm trying to recruit Nate to come on one of these days. It'll
Hey,
happen.
I'm down. I'm down. It's just
I know. It'll happen.
finding the time.
I know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a great zone to be in. Fantastic herps. I mean, indigos for days, quote unquote speaking. I mean, you can't go wrong. Huge diamondbacks. I mean, like, huge diamondbacks.
Nice. Yeah, that would be cool. Like, I obviously would want to be seeing milk snakes and cat-eyed snakes. And
yeah.
that'd be
Speckled
the main
racer.
thing. Oh yeah, speckled racer. I forget about those. Those are cool too. But yeah, I mean, but like you said, I might just go to the Mexico side and try there.
Well, that'd be an interesting trip, Tamaulipas, you know. But I mean,
Yeah.
you obviously you're kind of well versed in traveling the northern states, so I'm sure we can conjure up something. But that would
Yeah,
be a
well,
trip. That would be a
yeah.
trip.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm sure in the near future it'll be something that happens, but a couple more states I want to go to first. I'd like to go to Puebla.
Puebla?
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, solid, man. I'm curious. So you've done herping in Arizona, Cali, of course, Utah.
Went to Utah once, yeah.
Okay. Targeting, I guess, Mountain Kings, right?
Actually, no. I actually went there because I wanted to see Utah milk snakes.
Oh.
Because it was weird. I should have went for Mountain Kings, but I was like, I don't know. I have a friend who lives in Utah, and we were talking, and their family's like, just come out. You can stay with us. We'll take you to do whatever you want to do, whatever. You know, the kids can play with our kids, and you know, we can go snake hunting. My wife will watch them, and I was like, that sounds cool. Let's do it. So. And then, like, I just looked around where they lived, and where they lived, I was like, oh, there's milk snakes where they live. So, like, I didn't even think about Mountain Kings. I was like, there's milk snakes. I've never seen a milk snake in my life. Like, let's do this.
Yeah. It's like you just heard your sleeper agent activation word. So your winter soldier code, milk snake, locked in.
Yeah, so I.
Lamp or not, right here.
Yeah, so I did a little homework, and we did not get a lot of herping time like we thought we would because we were taking the kids to do stuff. But like his wife, like my last day there before we were leaving the next morning, she's like, you guys have gone out like an hour and a half looking for snakes. Why don't you guys spend like 3 or 4 hours go out there? And like I was like, dude, there's one spot I want to go. It's like an hour and a half from your house. Can we just drive there? I really feel good about it. And we went there and we got the milk snakes. We got like four in like 30 minutes. So I was like,
Solid.
paid off.
Solid intuition, man.
Yeah, so it was cool.
Sweet. Well, you know, I'm curious. You said you bring the kids along sometimes. Has their enthusiasm kind of, like, I guess, what do you call it? Has it kind of waned and waxed, or do they still, like you said, your daughter was the one that got you into it. How does she feel about, you know, snake hunting nowadays?
She likes snakes still, but she doesn't like the process of finding them. So she's every now and then they'll go out and hike and play with me for a little bit, but you know, an hour and a half, they're like, all right, Dad, are we done? And I'm like, I understand.
Yeah.
Because I have two girls. They're 10 and 8, and like they can only handle so much, you know, or
Yeah.
it's like so much road cruising. They're like, yeah, this is boring. We haven't seen anything for like an hour.
Your one daughter's just
So.
like, I showed dad that one NFK herping video 4 years ago, and now I'm stuck in the back of a car at 10:30 at night. I want to go home.
Yeah, that's funny. I think it was actually, I think it was Lou B who she found.
Oh, the
Okay.
pilot Herbert. That's hilarious.
Yeah, he's pretty
Oh,
close to us too, and he's a funny guy. I don't know who it was. She found someone flipping boards in San Diego and finding king snakes and stuff, and she was like, "Let's go." So.
I mean, it worked out in the end. Look at you now, man. I mean, a whale versus portfolio in the herping world. I mean, shh.
Yeah, I've gone crazy with it. I've spent a lot of money on this hobby.
It's eclectic, man, but
Well, hey.
it's our hobby for
Yeah.
sure.
Well, hey, now you're on our podcast, so that totally makes it worth it, right?
Yeah, I've made it. I'm in the elite tier.
The golden ticket, dude. That's
I
awesome.
mean, it's cool. I mean, you guys wanted to talk to me, so that means something to me. You know, I'm doing something right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and also for someone, how much have you like poured into like photography efforts and like photography gear, or is that more like something that is like, oh, I just do this to like document what I found?
It's like secondary to everything else, you know?
That's kind of like yes and no. Like, I've always kind of been into photography. Like, I've always had a camera. I've always taken pictures. Like, I've shot like at weddings before and stuff before I got into this. And I would take pictures of whatever I saw. You know, there was a bald eagle. I'd take pictures, or I
Yeah.
had pictures from when I wasn't even into snakes of rattlesnakes that I just came across. So,
I mean, out
I.
of all the snakes in North America, they're probably the easiest to photograph, pro and
Yes.
probably the most photogenic as well, at least in some species.
Some, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I've always kind of taken pictures, and then this got me like really into it. I was like, okay, I want to show what this animal actually looks like, not just like whatever. So, I had to get the flash and the diffuser and lenses and dump, as anyone who doesn't know, thousands into that stuff. So, yeah.
Depends how cheap you are. Talking mostly
I
about
don't like,
me, but
yeah, I don't like cheap. That's one of my big problems. I'm like, well, if I'm gonna buy it, it's probably gonna last forever if I take care of it, so I might as well buy the good one. So,
solid logic.
but maybe a bad habit.
No, you gotta go bougie for the boas, dude. That's kind of the slogan, you
I like it. I like it.
Pimping for
You
the
know, thankfully,
pythons.
yeah. Well,
Yeah.
thankfully, my friend and I, when we were out there, we did get lucky enough to see a Rosie. But you know, obviously, you seem to be kind of a Rosie fanatic. But have you seen, the rubber boas as well?
I have not. Well, I haven't gone many times. I only went to their range one time. No, that's a lie. Like two or three times, but I forget this. The San Jacintos have them. I always forget that they're there. So like Idyllwild, I've been to like once. So once there, and I went to the San Bernardino Mountains, which is like Big Bear and stuff once.
No.
And I didn't see any in Idyllwild. I didn't see much of anything in Idyllwild, but that was like a half day. We were on one mountain near Idyllwild. We got a Mountain King. We're like, let's go to Idyllwild. And we spent like 2 hours there and got smoked. But I went to San Bernardino's and like never been there. Got out the car. 20 minutes in, I flipped a southern rubber boa, and then like 5 minutes later, Ronnie's like, "I got a Zenata." So like we just crushed today, like, and we went and got lunch and went home.
That's the smart course of action. When you knock out targets like that, you don't waste any more time. You get some food and just head back. That's probably one of the
Yeah.
solid pieces of advice you can hear from any herper,
Yeah, because it was far. Like that mountain range is like a good 2.5 hour drive from me. So it was like, we won. Let's go home.
Yeah.
But that's
Nice, dude.
it. Just that one. Only rubber boa I've seen.
They're a crazy snake too. They have quite the range, north to south to north.
Like all the way up to like British Columbia, right?
I believe
Yeah.
so.
Which that is
Yeah.
that's a crazy sentence to say. Canada has a native species of boa. It's like, what? No, that can't be true.
Yeah, that's I thinking about snakes in Canada is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about garters and stuff, you know, they're super
Yeah.
ugly. It makes sense. But yeah, boa, insane. And the fact that you can sometimes find them, you know, basking while there's still snow on the ground, it's like just insane to me.
Yeah, it is insane. I mean, there's some snakes that just any bit of warmth, even if snow's on the ground, they're like, whatever, I'm going up.
They just turn and look at an Imperator and like, weak.
Yeah, I mean, those are
Weak, but
pretty
they
cool.
are the cooler boa, quote unquote. You saw Sigma.
Eunectus, soft.
Yeah, I've seen a
Eunectus.
I've seen quite a few boa sigmas now. I mean, a good handful, five, I think.
It's
They're
kind of a
cool.
surreal. It's a surreal feeling seeing them. Do you guys road cruise them or you hike them?
We road cruise them. Like where we were, people might say I'm full of shit. I don't know, but like there's no hiking where we were. Like it's like road and like the tropical deciduous forest is so thick, like you're not even walking off the road. Like no way.
Sure.
So I was just like, well. And in the daytime too, we were up in the mountains. So what we would do is we'd spend the daytime in the mountains hunting willard eye, mountain kings, and all that stuff. And then we would shoot down the western slopes into the more tropical stuff.
Yeah, man.
That'd be a cool species to see as well.
Pretty easy if you're in habitat.
And
I'll
you're
make a note of
saying,
that.
but I'm curious. You're saying, you know, when it comes to your Mexican journeys, it started with Baja. You said that was the first, since you know it's the nearest, you know, state to go to. What are some highlights out of those trips that you've done?
Dude, the first trip was like
Did you get a coach whip? Did you get the Baja coach?
I have never seen one alive. I've seen them cross the road and I've seen them hit on the road and stuff, but I've never really looked for them. But they're cool, and if I come across one, I do. If not, whatever. There's so many coach whips by my house that I'm kind of just like, meh. But they are cool. But like, back to your question, my very first trip to Baja, I had like just met Ronnie in August. It was like we were started hanging out, and then September came and it rained, and we're like, we called each other. We both like said at the same time, we're like, it rained in Baja, let's go. And he had been once with his family. I had never been. And we went to the mountains. We like wrecked my car getting up. The road was so flooded out and beat up. Like my car just took a beating. We were having to pull trees out of the road and we just like wouldn't quit. We got lost and had to have like this old like tia on a rancho give us directions. And that was like where I was, that's when I learned my Spanish wasn't as good as I thought. But then we made
Mi
it. We made it to the
español es
mountain.
muy bueno.
Yeah,
I need el helpo.
it was probably sounding like that. But anyways, we figured it out. We got up there, we grinded it out, and on our last day, I found a big Baja Mountain King stretched out between some boulders on our first trip there, and that was like, it's probably one of the most memorable times ever. Just going down there and just getting a target like that was insane.
Yeah.
There's no better rush, dude. That's the story right there.
Yeah, and so every spring since, I'm trying to at least go to the mountains in Baja at least like one time. Like I want to see one Baja Mountain King every year if I can. And this year we focused on the southern range, and that has been a mission. Because I don't know if you guys know about that mountain range, the Martyrs, but
No. Are those the
it
ones
is.
that are the very southern tip of the peninsula?
No, not quite. They're in Baja Norte, but they're the highest part of Baja, the highest peaks there. It's like almost 11,000 feet, and it's the southern range extension or the southern range extent of Zenada.
Okay.
So they're pretty, and the mountains are really high. They're really rugged, steep, and they're just hard to find. People just Like some of the best herpers in the world go there and don't find them. Like I don't know how true this is, but I was told the guy who wrote the Baja book, what's his name? Grismer, Grimser, Lee Grimser, Grismer, I don't know, something like that, had like a helicopter and he still couldn't find them. And he was getting like dropped off and stuff. So like that was a mission for me. And we got that done this year with a insane like 8.5, 9 mile hike to where we were lost several times trying to get back. Like no trails, no path, just like where are we? No cell phone reception. It was crazy.
I mean, those are stories in the making that have been made. The lore
Yeah.
behind some of these species is insane, and to like actually find it is, I can't imagine the feeling, dude.
It was unreal. Like one of my highlights for sure was being able to like think like, wow, I actually found this snake, the Martyr Mountain King. Like I got one.
Yeah, well done. That's like definitely a badge if there ever was any in the Lampropeltis community, you know?
No, for sure. For Mountain King guys, like that's saying something, which I feel pretty proud of. And I don't like to brag. I like to try to be humble, but that's one I'm pretty proud of.
Yeah. Maybe this is where I was getting confused with the Cali Kingsnake range, because I think they do range in Sonora, but they definitely range in Baja, right?
Yeah, no, they're just like they're down all the way to the bottom to like La Paz and what's at the bottom, Cabo. Yeah. That's another thing I would like. I don't even know why I thought of this, but like going and finding some like Baja Island endemics, that's kind of on my radar too.
Isn't there one rattlesnake without the rattle?
I think
Santa
that's
Catarina.
on one of the offshore Mexican islands, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's in the Sea of Cortez in Isla
Yeah.
Catalina, the Catalina Island rattlesnake, and
Yeah.
they've evolved to lose the rattle.
There's that, and then what's the species? Enyoi?
Oh, Enyo, yeah, the Baja California rattlesnake. Those are cool. I've only seen DORs, but I haven't been in their range much.
I guess they're a lot further south in the peninsula then.
They come up into the northern state, into Baja California.
Yeah, obviously it's a good sign, quote unquote, if you're seeing DORs, so it's only like a matter of being in the right habitat for longer, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately, when I went to the southern state of Baja California last year, it was just like a heat wave came through and it was so hot. So we just were not seeing anything. And like the few snakes that we did see, like were like DOR and like it sucked. It was just like, I think we saw one live snake the whole trip and it wasn't DOR because we were on an island. So, but yeah, it's then we saw like a boa, the Mexican rosy boa, the Trives DOR, a Baja rat snake DOR, and like two Enyos DOR, and that was it. And then one lyre snake on Isla Cerralvo.
That's definitely getting, that's, I don't even know what to call that, like getting smoked. I mean, you're seeing they were there. It's just obviously you're there too late for them, but.
Yeah. Yep, and there just wasn't a lot of movement. It was really hot. It was like in the upper 80s and just all night, like all night, 2 in the morning, still like 89. So but it was cool. Like hopefully I'll get to go back one day.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I appreciate the YouTubes, man. There's the low lights and there's the highlights. I mean, you have to take everything at face value. You didn't find much this day. What do you do the next day? They didn't find much. I mean, it's just kind of how herping goes.
Yeah, totally. And I try to, I mean, obviously I can't include all of that in there, otherwise it'd be boring as hell and you'd be having 3-day-long
100%.
videos. But like, I mean, the videos definitely show it at a much faster pace, and like I'm not even on the good videos, like I'm still working for it, and there's hours and hours that like you guys aren't seeing, you know?
100%, dude. Well, I want to be respectful of all our times, especially you, Nate. So I'm curious, do you have anything else to end off with Blaine here? I mean, I know we do have one thing to end off with, but I'm curious if you have any other questions.
I have one question I want to ask, and I think I know what it is. For anyone who's watching this time for the official announcement, this is actually going to be our last live stream. We're actually going to be switching over to pre-recording after this for the time being.
Yes. Yeah. There are certain life decisions, mainly on my end, that is causing this change. It'll be pretty subtle change, and we still will do the occasional live show depending on guests and schedule. So, you guys won't miss too much, but we are changing the format just a little bit.
But
And we're still
to
dropping them, Tuesdays, every other Tuesday. So there's
try
no worry
to,
about that.
yeah.
But if there's a little bit of a gap in the meantime, you'll know why.
But to close our live stream out with our old tradition of ours, I think it's only fitting that we ask the question of our guest here. What is one place that you want to go herping that you haven't gone herping before? It could be anywhere in the United States or anywhere in the world.
Oh man, that's so funny because I'm sure everyone wants to hear me not say Mexico, but where I have not been, that's so tough. I mean, for Mexico, I really want to go eventually to San Luis Potosí and
Oh, no way.
Puebla and like Aguascalientes and Tamaulipas, all that. Like, there's a lot of states and stuff I want to do. Like, it would be cool to go look for Alterna in Chihuahua, like that stuff. But I think the ultimate, like, amazing place. Oh man, I don't think I can get away from Mexico. I think I'm gonna have to stay with more Mexico.
Nothing wrong with that, dude. That's solid.
Yeah, just more in New Mexico. I gotta stay there.
I'm with you.
All right.
But I will say, like, Africa, Australia, and Asia definitely have some pull.
And Bryant, do you have any additions to any of your lists?
No, the only thing I would end on is, Blaine, thank you so much. You're a wonderful guest to have on. This is a blast, a banger of an episode. So, I appreciate all the insights and all the story you've shared with us today. It was awesome to get to know you a little bit.
Absolutely, and thank you guys so much for having me. It's really cool and an honor to be asked to share stories and stuff and get to sit down with like-minded people and do that. So I appreciate you guys as well. And like I said, if you come to San Diego, link me up.
Will
You
do.
said you'll put us on, so
Yeah, I got
100%.
you.
We'll take
Got
you
you.
on that offer, dude. All
Hell
right.
yeah.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining Reptile Ramblings for, at the moment, our final live stream. It's been a blast. Till next time.